Mic'd Up, Our Women Entrepreneurs is brought to you by Scottish Edge and is supported by the Royal Bank of Scotland. More details on Royal Bank of Scotland's accredited support for women in business a little later. Hello everyone and welcome to Mic'd Up with me, Alison Walker. My second podcast series is all about successful women entrepreneurs here in Scotland, and we don't have to look too far. Women from all backgrounds are running all sorts of businesses all around the country. In this episode, I'm in Glasgow to have a chat with another Alison, Alison Gray, who created Skillfluence in 2015 and now works with over 50 universities in the UK. The mission of Skillfluence, to transform how PhD students live and work. Alison, thank you so much for joining us on Mic'd Up. Where do we start? I think briefly, when you're talking about the business and you are telling someone that doesn't know anything about it, how do you simplify it and how would you describe it?
So I think Skillfluence is really about working with researchers and academics and PhD students and helping them get their research out into the world. And we kind of started because there's so much amazing research going on in universities and research institutions across the UK. But a lot of it, because researchers tend to be more technical minded or scientifically minded, more theoretical, they might not have the commercialization skills or the innovation skills or the communication collaboration skills. So that's where we come in and we train them up in how to get their stuff out into the world. I kind of think it's a bit like Big Bang Theory meets The Apprentice.
That sounds fun, though.
Yeah, it is. It's great fun. It's great fun.
So what happened before? What happened to all this great research before?
Well, I mean, some researchers are great at getting their stuff out into the world. So you can see it. You can see the impact of that. You can see the impact of science and social science and technology in the world. But we'd like to see more of it, greater impact. So yes, it was getting out there. I just think that there's a lot more that can be done to help make connections for researchers with industry, with other researchers in different disciplines, and you know, starting up their own companies as well. So that was where we started.
Where do you come from in this, in terms of your background and into this?
Yeah, so my background's really in skills development. I've always been interested in developing people's potential. So I've got a kind of motley collection of jobs in my background, everything from working with homeless people, then working in the mental health sector, and then working with young disengaged young people leaving school, helping them get into employment opportunities. And so I've always been interested in people and potential and have an economic impact from that.
So taking all that background, it's quite a big step to then go to something like this. Can you give us a kind of rough idea of the journey from that to where we are now?
Yeah, well, so I was working in skills development and been doing that for quite a number of years. And to be honest, I was getting kind of bored with it. And I was looking around to think what I might do. And I didn't really know what I could do. I always like struggled to work for other people, and I'd been working in quite a big organisation, and that's quite hard going. So I actually went on a kind of a 6-month career break with my partner, and we went out to San Francisco for 6 months.
Oh,
I
that
cashed
sounds
in
good.
My life savings, and off we went. And yeah, so I mean, that was amazing. It was amazing, and I think I really see the value of that idea of a kind of sabbatical, where, and it's a luxury. I mean, I get it. Not everyone can do that, but people do it in different ways. I've seen people who, you know, when they're made redundant, it makes them reconsider and, you know, reset themselves. You also see quite often motherhood, you know, when women are yep. other, you know, parents are out of the workplace for a little bit of time, it kind of resets where you're at in terms of your thinking. And it makes you realise how much might be possible. So, yeah, when I was in San Francisco, I got the chance to do loads of different training courses and meet.
So it wasn't really a holiday. It was.
No, it wasn't a holiday. I wasn't thinking of it as a holiday. I was looking at it as an opportunity to do something different and learn a lot.
And when did the penny drop, kind of thing?
I think, I don't know, it's kind of hard to tell. I think, actually, when I first arrived, I went to a one-hour session that was being run at Berkeley University by this trainer, and he was amazing. I just came away full of ideas, just really impressed by how he'd done it. I thought, there's something in that. So then I started to look at other training programs that I could go to in San Francisco and the surrounding area while I was there. And I ended up going to, you know, a whole lot of weird and wonderful things. I was just embracing, you know, being out of my comfort zone and doing different things. And yeah, so I think it started to drop when I really felt the buzz of San Francisco and like what might be possible, because they think big there. And that let me kind of think a bit bigger.
At the same time, translating all that into something tangible in Scotland is strikes me as being quite a leap.
Yeah, I think when I came back, I was very fortunate in my work. I was able to return to the same job, but actually that's really hard because you've been away, you've had this completely different experience, and then you're plonked back and it feels like, oh God, did that never happen? So I felt like I had to really move things forward, I think, and do something with that. So in my holidays, I used that I went out and I tried to get work to see if it was, you know, would people pay me to do training? Some people did, and I was able to do that in my holidays. And then at some point I had to make the decision if I was actually going to, you know, make a go of it, I suppose. That was quite a hard step, I think. Giving up. I've always had a secure job.
Full-time, paid.
Monthly salary coming in. And sort
holiday
of think,
pay, yeah.
Yeah, to think that you're not going to get that. You know,
Exciting, though, at the same time.
Yeah,
because I remember I did it when I left the BBC and after 20 years and just setting up working for myself. There was a buzz, but there was still a concern about where the next paycheck would come from.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm fortunate, you know, my partner has a job, so knowing that, you know, there's still going to be money coming in, that's important. It's probably easier that I was a little, you know, I was like sort of mid-40s, early mid-40s when I started this, so you're a bit more established. You know, I had a flat, I hadn't paid it off, but you know, you're kind of a wee bit further along.
But these are considerations.
So it get a little bit easier, I think, to do that. So, but yeah, at some point you're just going to go, next month I'm not going to get any money. That's really the decision you have to make. And it would be very easy to go, just one more month. But there's got to be a cut off.
So where were you at that starting point? There was just you.
Yeah.
And how long before things properly got up and running?
So I was really, really fortunate when I, before I finished my work, I had applied to be part of an accelerator program called Entrepreneurial Spark, and to go along and pitch and, you know, get an interview, and they accepted my application. And so I finished at my work on the Friday and I started at the accelerator program on the Monday, and that was really instrumental, I think, in being around other people who were similar but different. Actually having a place that I could go to, because this is a few years ago and the thought of working at home wasn't as obvious as it is now. I thought I might be quite lose motivation or be a bit more up and down if I'd been at home. You know, you can imagine just being on your own, it can be quite isolated. So yeah, so I was very fortunate. In the Gorbals in Glasgow, there's Sir Willie Hawhey had put, Lord Willie Hawhey, I think it is, had provided space, and you know, I was able to be in there with a load of other entrepreneurs getting support. It was brilliant.
And that was for how long before you set up?
I had set up the business, but I didn't really have very much work, you know, wee bits and pieces. So that allowed me the kind of space and time and motivation to really kind of get things going. So I was in there for, you know, I did quite well. I think you're only supposed to get 18 months. I think I squeezed out a bit longer, two and a half years, and then had a wee break, and then moved into the Royal Bank of Scotland Accelerator Programme in St Vincent Street. So I've had a lot of support from the ecosystem in Scotland, which has been brilliant.
And at what point did you feel you actually needed a proper office space?
Yeah, I think once we started to get a little team that was based in Glasgow, so when, so I suppose during COVID, sort of 2020, the team started to grow out a little bit, and I knew it was going to grow a little bit more as well, and it just felt like it would be good to have a place that we could come together without it being too, like, you know, you have to be there every day or anything like that. But it's just really nice having somewhere that we can all kind of hang out.
And how many are there of you now?
So we've got 10 of us now, and we're recruiting for another couple of folks, so we should have another sort of two or three people. We've got someone starting this week, in fact. So yeah, it's grown really nicely over the last couple of years. It's really ramped up.
Well, just to tell people, we're in a really nice office setting and in an old building, just beside the Kingston Bridge. Can you describe just the environment we're in here? Because we're actually in a wee studio as well. Yeah. What do you use this for?
So yeah, this is our little studio for if we're doing online learning, if we're like running a webinar, or we're if we're doing any kind of workshop, or just for meetings as well. So the room is an old gold vault. It's got it's got a very old metal door that's really, really heavy. And in here we've got a kind of nice setup. We've got our standing desk, and we've got a good quality microphone, and we've got a bit of soundproofing and that kind of thing. Then we've got the main office. We've got like 10 desks. We don't often have them all full. And then we've got another wee room. There's a little meeting room as well. And it's quite a good setup, because I think we realised that when we were coming out of COVID, we'd have a lot of online meetings because we work with universities all over the UK, and most of the meetings are online with them. So you need wee spaces, wee pockets that you can all disappear off into to have meetings online.
And aside from meetings, how much of the learning, if you like, or the training is done online or as opposed to face-to-face?
Yeah, well, I mean, 5 years ago, everything was face-to-face, and then it just dropped off a cliff in March, April 2020. And since then, it was 100% online. And now I would say probably about 60 or 70% online.
So still the majority of it.
Yeah. And we also, as well as having Skillfluence, we've now launched a new brand called Founders 360, and that works with startup companies. So we run accelerator programs, and a couple of those accelerator programs are in the Highlands and Islands of Scotland. And so, you know, that remote working is really important for them, because they, you know, got people from Shetland, from Orkney, from Skye, from Lewis, from Mull.
Online's enabled you to extend your reach for sure.
Massive difference for people, yeah.
So how would it work? Say, does the university get in touch with you about some of their PhD students, and how does the process work of you getting to that individual?
Yeah, so it tends to be, yes, universities or research centres, they will hire us to provide a service for a group that they've already got in place, usually. So most of our work comes through referrals now and word of mouth.
What a great position to be in right now. So it's almost like you've got to run with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because something else will come further down the line, because that's just the way it works.
Yes, it will change and we'll have to adapt. And we've already kind of adapted as we've moved along.
How do you view success in terms of, is it because you get that research out there and it has some merit and makes a difference, a PhD student gets a really good job, or how would you view that?
Yeah, so there's different ways. So at the end of a program, at the end of a workshop, you'll have an evaluation form that's, I call it the happy sheet, because, you know, most people are kind of like, oh, that was great, you know, and they come away feeling good, but has it made any difference?
Has it translated? Yeah.
And as we've progressed in what we do, we're now able to measure the distance travelled for people. So we run longer programmes. So you're able to say, how confident and ready did you feel at the beginning of this? And now, how confident and ready do you feel at the end to engage with industry or to understand how to start your own business? And you can actually see the distance travelled. But even that's quite short scale. I think, you know, success for me is just the ripple effect of what we do. We don't work in isolation.
No, it's a domino, it's, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, I just love the thought of, I have no idea what impact it's having for people, because you don't know that what seems like a throwaway phrase to me might be something that you just like go running with, and just it means something really significant to you at that time. So yeah, I think it's about people's careers, their being able to realise their potential, the economic impact it can have, the social impact, and also in my team as well, you know. So I'm not just, you know, I want to have, you know, success for me is growing and building a happy and fulfilled and successful team, and doing something as a company as well as being able to impact people through our training.
It strikes me actually that in a way COVID possibly created even more of a need for something like this, and something dreadful happening in the world. Somebody always succeeds through it somewhere. So I suppose indirectly that might have happened with you. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think it let us scale more effectively, because being able to do things online, you can reach an awful lot more people kind of more easily. But it's also kind of harder, because doing good training online difficult. We've learned an awful lot, and people were really forgiving at the beginning and generous and kind about, oh, you know, we don't know how to work Zoom, and, you know, like, how does the breakout room work?
Remember all that?
Yeah, and just like not really knowing how it works. You know, online, you've just got to bring so much more energy, because you're the energy in the room.
Yeah. How do you engage people? Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult.
So yeah, I mean, I think COVID did create an opportunity for us, and I think we had a wee team at that time, and, you know, folk in the team just went with it, and just we were trying all sorts of different things in response to it, and, you know, some of that worked, and then we were able to just build on that and just learn.
Is the sector quite women friendly? Is it that the world felt fairly positive for the women?
Yeah, I think so. The customer group that I would normally speak to, so the people that buy the training for the university, so that's like researcher developers or people who work in innovation teams in universities, there's quite a lot of women in those roles. And so that's, you know, you can just, it doesn't feel like there's any kind of particular issues there. You never know, there's always
and the other thing I'm curious about is I'm not saying it's been a smooth path, but do you think all those years at working in a skills environment, training skills environment, set you up for this, that this was almost the natural path for you to go down?
I think for the product of training, yes, but I never ever worked in a business before, apart from like Saturday jobs and summer jobs, you know, in the early days. But, you know, all the work I'd ever done was in public sector, charitable sector, third sector. And so I was set up in terms of maybe understanding
that experience,
the training.
Yeah.
But I wasn't set up in terms of understanding business.
Working for yourself is very different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
Do you what do you like about switching off, and are you 24/7 with this?
I'm fairly 24/7, I would say.
That's normal.
But I love it.
But
I
mean, if you enjoy what you do, that's absolutely fine. Have you had any major setbacks in the business? Has there been anything you thought, oh, I don't know if I can continue with this? Has that happened at all?
No, I've never felt like, could I continue with this? I mean, I've had some difficult things to deal with. You know, often around people, so people in the team. But I mean, like, I've got an amazing team. It's just, you know, things happen for folk, and it's just helping them manage that. So they're not bad things. Just, you know,
it's life, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think the people side of things is always the most challenging. Of course, when COVID happened, you know, that was a big challenge. But, you know, I don't, I'm quite forward focused, and I'm quite solution focused. So I'm always kind of like, okay, right, how do we manage this? And it, you know, there's been personal things for me, you know, during the time that I've had the business that have made it more difficult as well. You know, like family stuff and things like that. But I think now that I've got a team, you know, there's so much support there. There's such a lovely, it's just such a lovely group of people, that provides a lot of, you know, just gives me motivation and provides a lot of support.
And is there one moment or one element of success or one contract or one something that you look back on now and you think, oh gosh, that's amazing. Oh my, I can't believe that's just happened. Is there anything you can pick up on there?
Yeah, I think there's been a couple actually. So there was one right back at the start where I won a contract with the University of Edinburgh to develop their business bootcamp, a one-day bootcamp for entrepreneurship. And that was a big contract. And that, because I'd promised myself that what I was going to try and do when I finished my job was I set myself the goal of trying to get in turnover what I'd earned in my job. And that, to me, that would be success.
That was the target.
That was kind of like, well, if I can at least turn over what I'd got. And that gave me, like, you know, that was massive. So that was like, you know, £15,000 or something like that, like huge, big amount of money. And that was like, oh, well, I'm well on my way. So that was massive. And, you know, what's amazed me is people who are willing to give you a chance and give you an opportunity. And the human connection is like massive.
It's the relationships, isn't it? Yeah. And the people.
And then I kind of move forward to our biggest contract win. Well, it's not our biggest now, but at the time it was just really, really huge. And that was winning the Pathfinder Accelerator contract up in the Highlands and Islands of Scotland to run one of their big accelerator programs. And that was a 3-year project. And that just gives you, as a business, that gives you so much kind of confidence that you can plan ahead for 3 years. And it means a lot for the team and what you can do as a business, because you can really think about how you can develop and continuously improve what you're doing.
It gives you that stability, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And that for relatively new business is absolutely key.
Yeah. And we put that together as, that was the management team. So myself and Rachel and Zach had worked together on developing that. So it was a real win for us as a threesome who are kind of like working together and we're quite different in how we do things. But, you know, when it lines up, it can be a beautiful thing. You know, it comes together really well.
You know, and it's not just about the length of the contract or the type of work. It's obviously a confirmation, an affirmation that what we're doing is really, it's working. It's making a difference. Look at this. And that must be a good feeling too.
Yeah, that's really nice when you're like, oh, gosh, you know, this works, you know, actually this is good stuff. And that's when you hear the stories from people about, you know, a couple of years later, they're like, oh, you know, I was on that program and you know, this is what I'm doing now and it made me think this way or it made me do something different. That's just amazing, because you're not aware of that and someone's off doing things based on content or a delivery that we've been involved in and that we've run for them and changed things for them.
Where have Scottish Edge, where are they kind of in this story?
Yeah, oh well, so they play a pretty significant part for me actually, because I first applied for Scottish Edge right back at the very beginning when I was an entrepreneurial spark, and at that time, you know, there was a bit of a drive, you know, apply for things and do things. So I applied for Scottish Edge among other things, and I didn't get anywhere the first time round. But what was marvellous was that they gave me feedback about, you know, why I didn't get through. And I kind of realised actually I was too early for it. But at that time, I didn't know I was too early. So getting that feedback was useful, because you start to understand where you are in your journey, because it was all a bit of a muddle for me at that time.
It was all very new.
Fast forward sort of 3 or 4 years later, when I was in the Royal Bank of Scotland Accelerator Programme, the desk I was sitting at, the Scottish Edge team were at the desk behind me. So it was great to have them based in there and kind of get a better understanding. There's a lovely team, yep. really supportive. And I applied again. It was a much better position at that time. Just that allowed me to, that made a big difference actually in what we could do. But yeah, I remember going along to the final event and we had to pitch in front of, like, I don't know, it felt like a million people, but it was like 300 people. It was just crazy. And to have the panel of judges, and I just remember getting up on the stage, and fortunately there was a kind of lectern kind of thing you could stand
behind. You had that protection.
My knees were shaking like crazy. I mean, no one would have known. I think I come across as quite confident in these things, but oh, the adrenaline was whooshing through me and my whole body was shaking. You're just like hanging on for dear life, but sounding like you know what you're talking about. So, but that was a great, that whole experience of doing that and the support they provided, it was marvellous. And then the money as well really helps you kind of fast forward things.
Was that a significant timing for the money, or were you looking at doing something specific with it?
Yeah, so that was in December 2019. Was when we got the money, or when we won, got the money in January 2020. And the purpose of that money was to set up digital programs for delivery. And then 2 months later, all hell breaks loose. And there we are in a position where we've got a bit of funding. We're already kind of thinking in those terms. And it just accelerated that for us.
You were really
massive.
Ahead of the game there,
yeah,
weren't you?
It was massive.
The timing worked for you.
It was. We were that was fortunate or unfortunate, obviously, because it, you know,
of everything else that went with it.
But that really did propel us. Yeah.
Where do you everything seems to be? You've obviously got the Founders 360. Where do you see the business going next? Because you've always got to adapt, evolve, and think what's going to be next. And
yeah,
well, what are you thinking now?
So yes, I suppose we've got two different things going on. We've got Skillfluence working with higher ed, and when I first started I was like, I want this to be global, I want this to be, you know, everywhere. And actually what I've realized is that I would much rather go really deep and be really good in an area rather than kind of spread across the globe unnecessarily. So at the moment, really going deep in the UK market and really being super integrated, getting the chance to do bigger and bigger projects, which we're already doing. You know, we're working on big scale projects now with universities, not just delivering training, but more consultative around their innovation and impact agenda. So that's massive for us. More of that would be fabulous. With Founders 360, so we've got 4 or 5 accelerator programs that we're running just now. And I don't know, the sky's the limit with that one. We're still exploring what our place might be in terms of doing that. I think at the moment, more of what we're doing, where we're running programs for startup companies, like we work with Accelerate Her, running their boot camp with them for female founders. We run a program for the Mitchell and Scotland Innovation Park. So better understanding what these accelerator programs could look like, building our knowledge around that. And yeah, I don't know, exploring. I love the what might be possible kind of thing. I like ideas. So we're just exploring ideas at the moment. So I don't know. And I like that. I don't know where that side of things might go.
There are so many great people in Scotland doing amazing things, and I guess you'll have found that out, that post-COVID especially, there's some great things happening, some great businesses, some great students, you know. Is that very much your impression?
It's amazing the businesses are out there. I find that really inspiring. Last week I was at an event that's run by Forus, and there was 30 businesses from Scotland pitching. I just like, this is amazing.
Yeah, you feel it's all, in the news it's all doom and gloom, but actually there's brilliant things happening all over the place.
Extraordinary. And the kind of things that people have, you know, like, just, you'd never dream of, you know, as I said, oh, there's what a fantastic thing they're doing, you know, some amazing problem they're solving, a solution they've come up with, something really innovative. So I think it's exciting when you see what's going on out there. And there's a lot of support in Scotland as well to to really develop that, and there are places for people to come together, you know, to meet each other, and you know, startup grind and tech scalers now, and you know, there's so many players in the ecosystem. It's brilliant.
Well, I've loved hearing about your world. It's been fascinating, and all credit to you and the team, because it's you. I can sense your passion for what you do and how much you love it. And I will watch this space to see what you're up to next. Thank you, Alison, for taking the time out, and because I know you're busy, and you'll probably be designing another program this afternoon of some kind.
10 programs this afternoon. That's been really lovely speaking with you.
Thank you. Really enjoyed it. Thank you. Our Women Entrepreneurs is supported by the Royal Bank of Scotland, providing accredited specialist support for women in business today and every day in the form of free help, expertise and guidance. Whether you want to chat with one of the local enterprise managers, are interested in the Accelerator programme, or would benefit from a mentor session on the Women in Business mentoring platform Mentor Match, go to rbs.co.uk/business and search Women in Business to find out more. Meanwhile, keep an eye and an ear out for the next episode of Our Women Entrepreneurs on Mic'd Up, coming soon. Thanks for listening.